This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, good morning. You are listening to The Morning Run. It's 7:05 in the morning on Wednesday, the 29th of December. Just three more days. Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. We'll count it as three more days till the end of the year. I'm Shazana Mokhtar together with Wong Xiaoning. But first, we recap how global markets closed yesterday.
Nespresso, bringing you the perfect blend of global market analysis and insights.
So it was a rather mixed day because the Dow was up 0.3%, S&P 500 down 0.1%, Nasdaq was also down 0.6%. We saw quite a lot of selling in the big tech names. Meanwhile, in Asia, it was all green. Nikkei was up 1.4%, Hang Seng up 0.2%, Shanghai was up 0.4%, Singapore Straits Times up 0.8%, while our very own FBM KLCI was up 0.4% as well.
So joining us on the line for some thoughts on what's moving markets, we have Danny Wong, CEO of Arika Capital. Good morning, Danny. Thanks for joining us today. Now, the S&P 500 took a dip, but it's still touching record highs, even as we head into the last week of the year. What's continuing to drive equity markets upwards in the US?
Good morning. I think the excess liquidity in the market resulting in super accommodative fiscal and monetary policy is the main contributing factor to the U.S. run. Beside that, of course, the strong U.S. corporate results in the last two quarters also helped boosting the index back to what it was. So these two are the main two factors. So long as the corporate result continue to on the uptrend, and then the tightening of monetary policy or the tapering is not too aggressive in 2022, I believe that they will still on the uptrend on U.S. market.
Okay, so Danny, when will it be time for emerging markets or, to shine? Because compared to developed markets, especially in the U.S., we have clearly underperformed. I mean, even developed markets in Asia like Nikkei 225 is only up 6%. Korea is up 6%. While the U.S. markets are, in 20% territory. So do you see a reversal of flows next year?
There will be, I'm positive on Asia market. Typically after this China news actually subside. And typically, I think this year it was affected by China news in this part of the world. China is a very unique situation, mainly impacted by the regulatory pressure or the policy risk. So investors' sentiment will only recover strongly after this possibly seem to be subsiding, right? So I think, but in general, I think the general direction of Asia market is still likely to be tracking the U.S. market. But in the longer run, when China, or rather this part of the world, when China the dust settle, then the bigger impact will be here. And I think that by then, Asia will pick up.
At this stage, do you have a sense of when it will settle down in China, Danny, at this point, or is that still uncertain?
There's still ripple after this so-called the policy change or other policy tightening. But I think timing is beyond my guess. So, but likely it will be another 2-3 months, hopefully, after Chinese New Year.
All right, we'll keep an eye on that. Looking domestically, the Bursa Malaysia Index looks like ending the year in the red. Looks like it could be ending the year in the red. I don't know, in comparison to peers like Singapore's STI, which has returned nearly 10% year to date. What are the main reasons for this underperformance on the Bursa, do you think?
I think we're still left with a few days. CI is still down about 5%, more than 5%, including MAS, except the small cap, which is slightly positive, about 1%. This is affected by the main top four sectors, which is actually quite heavy to the index. These are banks, energy stocks, plantation, telco. These are all except banks, and the rest are all at loss. So I think, we're likely to see Bursa ending the year with the red, I think.
And what are your expectations for 2022 then? Do you think it will be another year ending in negative territory?
This year we experienced this loss on the some of these big sectors which are really down a lot. One of the culprits is because of this year of this delayed recovery. The other one is potentially because of this. Like for example, energy, plantation, and utility stocks. they are facing, ESG concerns and ESG risk. And thus, the valuation is actually derating. But however, moving to 2022, some of these stocks has been, very aggressively addressing the risk, coupled with the recovery in our pandemic. I think, I look forward to a positive of 2022. We prefer finance and consumers, typically some of those tourism sector and gaming services badly hit. Mm. So when things recover, they will first to recover. Beside the recovery stocks, we also quite like the growth team, which is quite a long-term play for us, like 3-5 years time. These are like tech industry. But however, the not so cheap at these two sectors. So be selective on this.
But Danny, I'm curious, what kind of investment strategy would you advocate? Would it be a balanced approach or an aggressive one, where you keep minimal cash?
Actually, we kept quite a fair bit of cash last year. But this year, I've been moving forward to do that. Sorry, this year, mm-hmm. we kept quite a fair bit of cash. But we deployed the cash, I think, lately. And we think that 2022 could be, because there's a recovery team this year, but it has been delayed. So we think that the recovery will be in 2022. So we deploy all our cash into the market at this moment, keep very minimal cash. And we think that this will help us. We deploy the cash for a barbell strategy. Part of it go to recovery, part of it go to a growth stock like tech and industry. Hope this will work out in 2022.
Yeah, I'm also curious, Danny, what keeps you awake at night when you think about markets? I mean, what could be the risks that we should be aware of?
I think tapering is one of the things. If it's too aggressive and the global actually withdraw the liquidity too fast, it will affect the market, right? The other thing, of course, the new variants. If so long as we keep everything in control, I think 2002 will be a good year.
Okay. Danny, thank you very much for speaking to us today. That was Danny Wong, CEO of Arika Capital, ending the conversation on a cautiously optimistic note. 2022 will hopefully be a better year for markets.
Yeah, but there are still risks out there, one of which is actually an external risk, which is tapering. Yeah, so has the market priced in 3 rate hikes by the Fed next year? Pretty much so, but they might surprise you because, of course, the Fed has 2 twin policies. One, of course, is price stability. The other one is full employment. And when you talk about employment, they're pretty much there in terms of what they want to achieve. Price stability, a bit challenging now with inflation. But if the economy chugs along pretty well, we might actually get a 4th rate hike. And then you might start seeing, a bit of a taper tantrum. Market's getting a bit nervous because that's a little bit too much to absorb. So we'll watch that space. And of course, it's variants, right? Because Omicron came out of nowhere, surprised us all. And I think it has dampened a lot of the recovery stocks, especially airlines, hospitality, and anything to do with going out and having good time.
Yep.
Even in US, we saw, hundreds of flights canceled every day, and even in the UK, because basically there's no crew to fly these planes.
It's not even because of any restrictions in place, but it's just because Omicron is affecting the health of those working in these industries. So when you don't have the labor to actually service these operations, then things come to a halt. And that's the sad reality, which reminds us always that we need to be very vigilant, as you said earlier, Xiaoning.
Exactly.
Let's do our part. Let's all keep vigilant and practice those SOPs that we know.
But Danny also highlighted sectors that he likes for 2022, and he expects it to be a much better year. So, things like technology was something that he was keen on. But the question is valuations, right? Because they've gone up a lot on a year-to-date basis, not only just in Malaysia, but globally. So I guess it's down to stock picking. But he still recommends a barbell strategy, which means a balanced approach to your portfolio.
And he did also speak about the regulatory crackdown in China and how that will create some uncertainty on Chinese markets for now, which leads to emerging markets probably tracking U.S. stocks rather than what's coming out in China.
Yeah.
But he does say that eventually the dust will settle. I do have a related headline here regarding regulatory crackdown. And Ant Group said that it will shut down its online crowdfunded medical aid service, Xianghubao. Please tell me if I'm saying this right or wrong.
Sounds right. I don't think I could do a better job than you, Shaz.
Well, let's go with Xianghubao then. So they're going to be shutting down this online crowdfunded medical aid service on January 28th amid China's crackdown on the fintech business. So I thought this was super interesting because Xianghubao, what it does is it's a crowdfunding health plan. So people can sign up for free. and all members share the medical costs of anyone becoming ill. It sounds like insurance, but it's not insurance. It's not called insurance. It's a crowd-funded medical aid service.
Now, what has happened is that this was dubbed as mutual aid, and the industry has been under regulatory scrutiny. So mutual aid platforms aren't licensed by China's Banking and Insurance Regulatory Commission. So they were one of the leading players in this mutual aid industry. Its Tencent-backed Waterdrop shut down its service in March, with Meituan closing its service in January, and said that Xianghubao had served more than 100 million members and that close to 180,000 users who fell ill had received aid from the platform since the service was launched in 2018. So it's been around. It's not like a new thing, right? This is what, third year of operations, fourth year of operations? And so many members. So I'm curious, what made the regulators wake up and say, hey, we don't want this service anymore? Why is it happening? Okay, it doesn't serve our purpose. We can't regulate it. Can't they have regulated it kind of now?
It's a good point. I mean, I think, what are the concerns about this that, you know, caused this sort of, this kind of crackdown? Something to explore, perhaps.
Maybe they see it as a shadow insurance business. Mm. And, you know, China is about regulations, right? And their greatest concern is, of course, social unrest. So perhaps if a scheme like this fails, what are the consequences that they are worried about? Probably people being extremely unhappy and taking to the streets.
I wonder if in a COVID pandemic situation, this kind of crowdfunding could actually work if there are so many people getting sick as well. Perhaps, although China has managed to contain their COVID numbers, I mean, maybe they're looking ahead to a situation where it explodes. Maybe they saw something of that in 2020. I don't know. Yeah, something to look up.
I'm wondering also, like, what are the mechanics of this? You know, when you get sick, who determines that you're sick enough to take money from this fund? Mm. And then who determines how much you get? You know, because I'm sure you ask for the maximum amount, right? What is it based on? So I'm sure this crowdfunding happens globally, but I didn't realize it was so big in China.
Nespresso starts your morning right together with the Morning Run, bringing you the perfect blend of global market insights with expert guests.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.